I'm Dan Clawson, and this is the Zealous Podcast, where everything we do is to inspire and equip the body of Christ for the comprehensive discipleship of the next generations. And I am joined today for this episode by one of the founders of Truth 78, David Michael, who is also our executive director and my boss, yet most importantly, a friend and brother in Christ. David, it's always a gift to discuss the discipleship of the next generation together.
And Dan, it's always a delight to be able to discuss the discipleship of the next generation with you or anyone else who will listen. So
yes.
I'm especially grateful for all those who are taking the time to tune in here and hear what we have to say.
Yeah, and I'm encouraged. We've been gaining listeners and people subscribing and hearing from a lot of our just brothers and sisters around the U.S. and globe about the gift that this podcast has been for them. So, and this episode today is actually just a little bit unique. We typically make, I would say, a pretty significant effort to ensure what we discuss here is timeless, meaning we do want these discussions for our listeners to be fruitful, whether it's today when an episode drops or even a year from now or later. And what's special about this episode in particular is that it's being released on Giving Tuesday, which provided us with this unique opportunity to discuss generosity and more specifically, giving the best gift to the next generation. But before we embark on that idea, David, I recently heard about a very unique gift that you received at one point in your life. Can you share that story with us?
Sure. Yes. Somebody had asked me what the most memorable gift, Christmas gift that we've received was, and I really couldn't think of anything. And the only one that came to mind was probably 35 years ago, when Sally's family had gathered with us in Minnesota for Christmas. Sally's dad was always trying to win the prize for the most unusual gift. And Sally's parents were missionaries in Ecuador for years, teetotalers. And so the most unusual gift, I think, was given to Sally, if I'm not mistaken, and opened it up. And Sally looked at it almost with a shocked look on her face, and it was labeled a liquor dispenser. Well, Sally's dad misread the label and thought it said liquid dispenser, and it turned out to be a liquor dispenser. And it was kind of cool. You had a little flip lever, and you had to make a basket before it would dispense liquor, but we all had a big laugh, and I think it's one of those family memories that you just remind each other for decades to come. So that was the only one that came to mind. I'm sure I've had other very special, meaningful gifts, but my memory fails me beyond that one.
Yeah, and definitely a unique, but like you said, unusual gift, and we're going to shift now into from that story into a very serious question. And knowing when we speak about generosity and the best gift to give the next generation, True 78, discipleship of the next generation, and can you just share with us what is that best gift that we can give?
Again, at this time of year, we're thinking a lot about gifts, and in my family, they're wanting lists from Dad, who's becoming increasingly more difficult to shop for. And the older I've gotten, and I think the more invested and the more focused I get in my area of ministry, the more my desires, I think, have just been more shaped by those things which are eternal. And yeah. You just get to a point in life where, you know, there's not really anything temporal that I feel like I need, but this relentless passion for the discipleship of the next generation, because all those Christmas gifts for 67 years now, most of them forgotten, most of them are gone, but the gifts that I want to give my children
yes.
is a solid understanding of God and yeah. who he is and how he has revealed himself through his word. So we have in Psalm 78 this testimony that we've been given. And I look back on my parents and their faithfulness in passing knowledge of God and his word onto me and feeling this remarkable gift that I've been given just to be able to know the Lord and to be able to understand his word. And I think all the people that have invested in my knowing God and knowing the word, and that's what I just want to do for my children, my grandchildren, even children yet to be born. I want them to be able to have that testimony and that knowledge of God, the knowledge of his word. What is it that God requires of us? What is it that God has given to us? Mm. What is my condition apart from the gospel? I mean, just the truth that we have been entrusted with, so crucial to pass on to our next generation. And I think that's certainly one of the best gifts that we can give our children.
Yeah, and I believe right now every parent listening to this, grandparent, those involved in children's ministry, pastors are saying amen. That it does seem like when you get past a certain age, and I'm sure it's also maturity and just your walk with Christ, when you think about your children and your children's children, what greater gift could there be to, other than knowing that they know Christ, they love Christ, they're faithfully following Christ. And I know for my family, that's my prayer. One of the most special books I have is my grandfather's Bible, and he's passed away, but his writing, his handwritten notes in it, thinking about his pursuit of Christ, and then by God's grace, my father's, and then by God's grace, mine. And I pray that for my son and for our two daughters. So that is truly, when we speak about gift, that is the best gift to the next generation indeed. And it is, once again, interesting that we're having this conversation on Giving Tuesday. And David, I actually looked up some numbers for last year. So talking about the generosity, even of our country, just looking at Americans, how much did Americans give in Giving Tuesday last year in 2020? There were over some 35 million Americans gave a total of $2.5 billion on Giving Tuesday. And I know here at Truth 78, we have so many generous individuals and families and churches who support the ministry of Truth 78. I get so excited talking about it. I'm tongue-tied. So their generosity, David, can you share with us how that generosity of our supporters and friends and brothers and sisters enables Truth 78 ministry and actually for us to be generous as well?
Well, just as you talk about last year, sensing an overwhelming sense of gratitude for among those who have invested $2.5 billion, some of those were our generous partners who invested in Truth 78, not just on Giving Tuesday, but throughout the year. I look at just what happened at Truth 78 post-COVID when, you know, 50% of our operating budget is covered by the revenue from our sales, and COVID hit, churches had to close, Sunday school programs stopped, and our revenue tanked. And it was our generous givers that just saw us through and made up, filled the gap for us in that very, very difficult year. Beyond that, now that things are slowly recovering for Truth 78, and that 50% through sales revenue is rising again, there's a whole, an increasing dimension of our ministry that does not involve the revenue of our resources. And so we're 25 years old. 100% of the ministry was funded in the early days through the sale of our resources. As the ministry has grown, what our passion is to try to really serve the church, and serve the church well, whether they buy our resources or not. We don't want to serve contingent on them being our customer or using our resources. We really want to serve them for the sake of the next generation. And our passion is really to try to equip and to inspire the church and the home for the comprehensive discipleship of the next generation. And
that's
that inspiring piece happens through a lot of individual phone conversations with church leaders. Even our path really to inspiring the home is through the church.
If
we can get a pastor for the next generation in a church or any pastor involved in the leadership of the church excited and aware of this biblical responsibility that we have for the discipling of our children. And if I can give him tools for them to pass on to the parents in their church, and if I can give him strategies for how to mobilize workers for the sake of the next generation, how to inspire the people in his church for the discipleship of the next generation, how to get parents on board, how to integrate ministry in the church with ministry that is happening at home, how to challenge dads to step up and to invest in the spiritual development of their children and family. Often that happens with one-on-one conversations that I and you, Dan, and others on our staff have to just be available in just serving the local church. So that's one little dimension that we don't make any money.
That's right. There's no sale for that.
That's right.
Right.
And it's just this passion that we have to serve the church and in whatever way we can.
Yeah. And then, David, I know by God's grace, we have been receiving phone calls and Zooms and emails and growing relationships internationally with brothers and sisters literally around the globe. And there's hundreds and thousands of children right now in India, as an example, and just around the globe, once again, being taught the Word of God faithfully, the breadth and width of God's Word. And that is difficult for some of our brothers and sisters in some of these countries and areas of the world where they don't have the resources we do. So once again, I hear you, I understand, and I see firsthand how the generosity of the church and those that are with us in this ministry allow us to inspire the church. And yet then, can you explain also how the generous donors of True 78 then allow us to be generous with our brothers and sisters around the globe?
Well, again, here in North America, the challenges are different. The church is very well resourced with tools for the instruction of children. We do think that what we have to offer the church is unique, and that the church here really needs to have a vision for discipleship, not merely providing programs. In many of the international settings, that same need exists, that many of the churches internationally have a very low view of children's ministry. It's something that, you know, perhaps you give the teenage girls in the church a chance to take care of the babies while, or the children while mom and dad are in the worship service. A vision for the next generation is almost absent. And added to that is the dearth of any kind of resources available for instruction. So our passion is that we really want to not only inspire the church internationally, and we've got some tools that can help us do that, but also to equip the church as well with solid, God-centered, Bible-saturated resources that will enable the church around the world to be able to systematically and intentionally disciple the children growing up in their church. We've got a dream, really, of...
We do.
So I'm 67 years old. I've had this kind of... By the time I'm 74, I'm thinking, I'm praying that our, what we call our top-tier resources, four of them, will be available in the top 30 languages of the world. And I'm so excited about how that is happening. You know, there are some international projects that we have where they have the financial resources to be able to do it. Others, they're very, very limited. And so what Truth 78 is able to do is to try to mobilize people to help fund some of these language projects. And we'd like to get them translated. And then at least 2,500 print copies of each of those top tier resources available. And then hopefully with each one of those put in place a sustainable structure that will enable them to continue to provide those resources for that language group.
That's right. And actually just recently, to put a name to this need that you're speaking of, I had a conversation with a new friend to Truth 78, a fellow servant of Christ. His name's Bernard, and he's probably listening now, loves the podcast. So Bernard, if you're listening, we love you. We're praying for your ministry there. And for our listeners, Bernard lives and ministers in Nairobi, Kenya. He's a teacher. He teaches second through fifth graders at a private school. And this is only by God's grace, but Bernard has been given permission in this private school, not a Christian school, this private school, to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to his students. So now he's looking for biblically solid materials to teach those children with. And when I spoke with him, I literally asked this question, and we're going to be able to hear the answer he gave. But this was a question I posed to him when I spoke with him, that if he would find Truth 78 curriculum particularly useful in his teaching and ministry to the children he serves in Nairobi. And let's all listen in to what he had to say. Can you share a bit about how you came across Truth 78?
I was involved in a children's ministry sometime towards the end of last year. I wanted to design a program that I used to take the kids through. And then I thought of checking out, desiring God if they have anything for people in my situation and with my need. And then I came across Truth 78.
That is great. We praise the Lord that he has brought us together. And we're thankful for your ministry there. And what do you see as far as the need for children, like those second, third, fourth, and fifth graders, when you're standing in front of them and you know your community well, in regards to the gospel, what is a significant need in your community that specifically the children have?
I'd say I think it's a need that the entire Church of Body of Jesus Christ has. A faithful gospel preachers and teachers who'll proclaim the gospel and nothing else, and who'll just have a genuine heart to shepherd the flock of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. And what have been some of the questions recently? I know you're focusing on trying to ask big questions children have. Can you think back and recall what are a few questions that the children have asked you in the recent weeks?
I've been asked, how did God become a spirit? Like today, earlier today, I was asked about angels and how the devil turned from being an angel to a devil, and why could not God forgive him? So those are some of the small questions that I've come across.
And when we look at, by God's grace, what Truth 78 teaches children about, for instance, in the age ranges that you're ministering to, about the promises of God and redemptive history as an example, or what it means to follow Jesus. For instance, fifth grade, How Majestic Is Your Name, the curriculum that focuses on the names and character of God. Would you find that those resources would be especially fruitful in Kenya with the children and their lives and understanding, and we pray their pursuit of Christ?
They'd be super, super useful, because I had said earlier, they ask questions about God. And these are, I would say, existential questions when it comes to God. But they still don't think of God as a a glorious king, a majestic king, a God who is powerful, who is holy, beautiful, wise, just. So especially last episode by your podcast really helped me, because I was going through, as I was teaching them, they had started asking questions about God. And I think it, as they were talking about it, they said it's so, it's important to present a majestic God to these kids, because that's who God is, number one. But again, our hearts are designed to worship something that is big, majestic, someone that is wiser than us, someone that is powerful than us, someone that is merciful than us, loving than us. And that's who God is. So I was, in fact, from the podcast, I thought of, there was the idea of the throne room of God. I thought of maybe one of the days turning to a passage in Revelation, if it's Revelation 5 or 6, just getting to see what is happening in the heavens, where we see God displayed in a majestic way, like surrounded by the four living creatures, the 24 elders and the angels. So I think if there were resources that are addressing, are presenting God to in this kind of ways to these kids, that would be super helpful. I think it's something that lacks in many discipleship programs. And that's something that Truth 78 and by extension, John Piper is good at.
Yeah, praise the Lord. We, Bernard, I am so encouraged, and just by our conversation now together, and for those that would hear this conversation in the future. So for Bernard and those second, third, fourth, and fifth graders in Kenya, and you standing there and proclaiming these large biblical truths about who our God is, and we pray that these children someday would set their hope in Christ alone, and that they would live as faithful disciples for the glory of God. What are a few things that we can specifically be praying about for you, for the children, and the ministry that you are doing?
That God would draw these kids to himself, that he'd provide resources that would help me be able to skillfully and effectively teach them, so that I'd not be limited by maybe my little theological outlook. Because wait, not for the last podcast, maybe I'd not thought of presenting a majestic God intentionally to these kids. So that's just like how limited one can be when they don't interact, or they are not equipped and trained. So for God to call these kids to himself, for resources that God would have me have access to, so that I'm not limited, for God to raise up many more teachers who are passionate about the gospel, about God himself, and about teaching the gospel to the kids that they are teaching, because I believe teachers have a lot of leverage and opportunity, in some cases even more than pastors. Because for example, I have 3 discipleship sessions of 1 hour per week with grade 4. So that's a time that a pastor doesn't have. So they have a lot of opportunity to be an impact and to make a gospel impact in the lives of these kids. So for God to burden, to raise and burden more teachers when it comes to evangelizing and discipling children.
Well, we will be joining you in those prayers for sure.
All right, once again, we're so thankful for Bernard, and I can't wait to meet the other Bernards internationally, the godly men and women around the globe that are in this position by God's grace to train and teach and to truly disciple the next generation once again around the globe. And so David, just kind of in closing, do you have any last words of encouragement for our listeners, just when it comes to biblical generosity and giving in general, but then also once again, giving the best gift to the next generation?
Well, one of the things I love about our financial partners is that they do more than write a check to our ministry. and we're happy for people to do that, but so many of them are with us in heart and passion yes. for the same mission. And that's what I love. We're kind of all in this together. We love working together with people with all kinds of resources, all kinds of gifts, not just financial resources, but just the giftedness on our team. And some of the people who volunteer, our board members, that invest so much in this ministry, and how God just sort of makes the math work for us.
Yes.
And it's coming from a heart for God, a heart for the next generation, and really just a remarkable trust of our leadership and the team of people who take those resources and invest them. I feel the weight of that responsibility and challenge probably more than anything. It's just, I'm very aware that people who write the check, invest in True 78, are giving as unto the Lord. They're yes. giving to the Lord. And now we're receiving this money in mm. the Lord's name. And just the sense of responsibility that that places on us to be, every dime that we spend, we want to spend it for the glory of God. And so in this day and age, we're just very, very mindful of the amount of trust that people place in us and the heart that they have for God and for the next generation. And that moves us with gratitude to God for every person who invests in this ministry.
Yes, amen. And David, now with our quickly coming to a close, I just, once again, our time together, it was a blessing for me, as I'm sure it was also to all of our listeners. And speaking of our listeners, our brothers and sisters, thank you again for being with us for this special episode of the Zealous Podcast, where David, Michael, and I discuss giving the best gift to the next generation. Now, may the Lord grant us to be zealous together, that the next generations may know, honor, and treasure God, setting their hope in Christ alone, so that they will live as faithful disciples for the glory of God.